Campbell. It's my pleasure to be here today. Having been part of the creation that was to become the Monroe Institute, I take particular pleasure in seeing how far it has come, how much it has grown, and how many lives it has enriched along the way. The theme of the 22nd Professional Seminar is Consciousness, the Endless Frontier. As one of the original explorers who has never stopped exploring, I am particularly pleased to have been asked to kick off this 22nd Professional Seminar. We're here because of our association with TMI and because of our interest in creative and useful applications of HemiSync. So I will give you a short description of the genesis of both HemiSync and TMI. Secondly, in consonance with the theme, Consciousness, the Endless Frontier, I will explain very quickly the core of what I have come to understand about the nature of consciousness and reality. Okay. Please hold your questions until the end. There's never enough time for questions, and I'm likely to take the lion's share of the 2 hours allotted to me, but I'm going to be here all day today, tomorrow, the next day, as long as most of you will be here, and I'm very open to have meetings. Whether it's early in the morning or late at night is fine with me, as long as it's fine with Shirley and it doesn't interrupt with any of the things that are already scheduled for the seminar. So I think we'll have to hold most of the questions until later today or the next several days. This is going to be a very quick skim over the top. Actually, it's more like a hop, skip, and a jump across the very top of this. Actually, this was a very hard presentation to generate, and not because I had a hard time figuring out what to say, but because I had a very hard time figuring out what not to say and still say within the two-hour time limit. That was the challenge. Now, these slides are going to be busy. They're probably going to have more words on them than you can read. I'm going to go through them very quickly. I'm going to be speaking very quickly so that I can won't have Shirley mad at me but going over my time. I understand a big hook comes out from somewhere around here if you go past your time, so I'm motivated to get done. So it is going to be quick. All of these slides are going to be available on my website. You see that, www.mybigtoe.com. So you don't have to copy a lot of things down. You can find the slides. I haven't put up there yet, but I will just as soon as I get a chance to get on the internet. Also, the slides are on the computer here, so I'm sure TMI will pass them out to you if you have a thumb drive or some way to pick them up. So if the slides become a problem for you trying to read them and listen, stop reading and just listen. Okay, I will say everything that you need to hear. You just let the slides go. They become annoying for you. Okay, first, a little introduction. Now and always a scientist sums it up pretty well. In college, I majored in both physics and mathematics, went on to grad school. Finally did thesis work in experimental nuclear, and now I work for NASA. I do risk analysis, which basically means physics models, system behavior, complex system behavior. So the team that I work on, and it's a fairly large team, what we do is try to discover what could possibly go wrong, what the probability is of it going wrong, and then if it does go wrong, how do you fix it? Okay, well, how did a physicist like me end up, exploring consciousness and being part of the Explorer program early on? Well, once I left graduate school, I took a job, and my first boss, Bill Yost, introduced me to Bob Monroe's first book. Well, at that time, this is 1972, early in 72. At that time, it was his only book. And the boss comes out and he hands me the book and says, "Tom, I want you to read this and tell me what you think." So I did. I read it. And a few weeks later, he asked me, "Yeah, well, what about this book?" And I said, "Well, there's three possibilities. One, this guy has a good imagination and is just trying to sell books. Two, this guy's nuts. Three, this guy's sane, honest, and accurate, and there's a whole lot of reality out there that I would love to experience and understand. But how do you know? You know, unless you meet him and can get a measure of the man, how do you know? You know, is this guy nuts or what?" Well, my boss and I both kind of shrugged shoulders and agreed that, you know, it was just really impossible to know from reading the book, but evidently Bill was listening. And about 3 months later, he came by and said, "Hey, Tom, we've located Bob Monroe. He doesn't live that far away. There's a bunch of us going to go out and visit him. Would you like to come?" And I said, "Absolutely, I want to come. I want to know whether it's one, two, or three. You know, I want to meet this guy." Well, that was, like I say, now that was more like the spring of 72. And toward the end of that meeting, we did meet with Bob, and we spent the whole evening with him. He was very gracious, as usual. And I found out, of course, that it wasn't one or it wasn't two, that Bob was very real. He was very genuine. He didn't have anything to sell. He just wanted to understand what was going on, and he wanted to put it into scientific terms so that he could share it with other people. That was his ambition. And we found out why it is he invited all of us and put up with us for a whole evening. Toward the end of the night, we were on the back deck of what was called the lab. There wasn't a whole lot in it at that point yet, but you know, with Bob, it was one of those things like, you know, build it and they will come. He had built it, and he wasn't quite sure, I don't think, what he was going to do with it at that point. But he looked at all of us, and he kind of scanned us over, and he said, "Well, you guys are all scientists and engineers, right?" And we all kind of looked at each other like, "What's coming next?" And we nodded our heads, yeah. And he says, "Well, would any of you like to join me here and work in this lab and help instrument it and put it together and study consciousness?" Well, it took me about a millisecond for my hand to go in the air. And I said, "Absolutely, I'd love to do that, Bob. But I'll do it if you teach me what you know." And he kind of considered that for about another half a second. After that, another hand went up in the air, and it was Dennis Minerick. Now, you have to understand, Dennis and I were both in our 20s. You know, we were middle to late 20s at this time. And Dennis said, "I'd like to do it too, but, you know, I want you to teach me what you know." So Bob kind of looked around at the rest of the group. I think he really was hoping somebody with a little more stature and experience and reputation, you know, would take him up on it instead of two kids, you know, not that far out of graduate school. But nobody else said anything at all, so it was a deal. And about 3 weeks later, Dennis and I are coming out to Whistlefield Farm. We're meeting with Bob, and from then on, we'd meet with Bob like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We'd get there after dinner, about 7:30. We'd go to the lab, and we'd start building equipment. There really wasn't a whole lot there. There wasn't any measurement devices for the people. There was just audio into three booths. So we would build equipment and start figuring out what we were going to do next, you know, experiments and things that we could do at the lab. After about an hour or so, Bob would come up, and then Dennis and I would get in the booths. There were three booths, and Bob would begin to carry out his part of the bargain, which is to teach us what it is we knew. There really wasn't a program then. I don't even know that Focus 10 existed then. It may have, but certainly nothing beyond that. So, you know, Bob was just making it up as he went, and we were just making it up as we went, all trying to come up with something that would make science out of this. That was our goal. Well, we did this for years. You know, Dennis and I were coming out here probably for pretty much straight 5 years or so. We were coming out 3 days a weekend. We'd come out on weekends. So you can imagine that you know, we were averaging somewhere between 20 and 30 hours a week, you know, with the lab and with Bob. So, you know, 20 hours a week with Bob Monroe as your personal trainer, you know, you couldn't help but learn something, and learn something pretty quickly. So it wasn't that long before Dennis and I had pretty well mastered the altered states. We were going out of body. We were making non-physical friends and people that we could get information from. We were doing experiments. Everything had to be experimental. There wasn't any point in doing anything you couldn't check to see whether it was real or not. So that was the kind of the ground rule. It wasn't just fun and games and have a neat experience. It was, is this real? And it took a while before, it probably took a year and a half or so before I got to the point that I could answer that question with a yes. And that's, everyone has to come to that point somewhere where you decide, you know, is this real?